Why, hello and welcome. Welcome to the Peer Pressure Podcast. I am Diane, sometimes known as Diane Kamikaze, and I am your host. The reason why I do this podcast is because I am a champion of heavy music. I've always found my favorite songs since I was a young kid had riffs, hooks, were either metal, hardcore, hard rock, or punk, or something fairly aggressive in attitude and sound. And I am all about appreciating the people that keep that world going, whether they're musicians, webmasters, other podcasters, record label and festival owners. It's important to me to recognize what these people do in that realm of music. So, I am here to bring them to you in a different context, more than a Wikipedia entry or a press release, a little more personal and a lot more fun. I'm a rocker for life, and I hope these episodes do make a difference. Send me feedback at diane@wfmu.org. My Instagram handles are Diane Kamikaze, that's one word, as well as Rockers for Life, and that is Rockers for Life, one word, underscore. And my Facebook page is Diane Kamikaze Farris, Rocker for Life. Like my page there, and I will keep everybody updated on podcast episodes in that space. Thanks so much for listening, and stay tuned. And it's time for part two of my interview with Vorfalak from Samael. This is taken from a radio show from October 16th, 2008. And it was a full 3 hours of Samael. So if you're a fan, I would urge you to go there and check out the entire show. This is the second half of the interview. Voila! What about vinyl? Do you license to vinyl? What's your view on collector stuff?
So far, every record we did has been released in vinyl. The last one, just a very limited edition, 1,000 copy, or even less.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like this 666 things once again.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
Good old 666.
But it might be. Actually, that's Nuclear Blast who deal with this, and I think that they license it to an Italian vinyl factory, and they just... Actually, the vinyl is very nice. I was surprised, you know, they had like almost like a booklet, but bigger.
Oh, really?
So it's not like cheap.
Oh, like a libretto.
Totally.
Yeah. Tonight I noticed that you were not wearing any ear monitors, and the other night you were.
Yeah, because we didn't have any channel for it tonight. I mean, I don't know what happened, but you know, sometimes you cannot.
Do you prefer them?
Yeah.
And what's in your mix?
Drums, of course. I need it. A little bit of micro guitar.
Mm-hmm.
My guitar, my vocal.
Is it more of an isolated feeling? Like, is it for you in terms of performing?
I don't think so. I mean, it was kind of weird the first time because you're not familiar with it, and my guitar was way too loud. So yeah, that was a little bit like, yeah, I'm the only one playing here.
Which
is not the reason why I'm in a band. You know, if you
right,
want to be the only one playing, so you play alone.
Right.
That's fine. So yeah, I like the band vibe, but I think it's all right now. But
mm-hmm.
You know, tonight wasn't not possible. So. No big deal. That's funny that you noticed that.
I did notice.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas or thoughts about doing like remixes or collaborations or something, taking another look at your material or working with other people?
Remix, yeah, we thought about that quite a few times, especially Xe. But, you know, mm-hmm. strangely enough, I think, you know, a lot of bands, when they do remix, they actually give their stuff to other people who remix it.
Yeah.
But his idea is to remix himself, his own stuff.
Oh, okay. So he can remix it forever, all the time, right?
Probably. It is like, Foreign of Light, we had two songs, On Earth and Telepath, both remixed by Xe on for a single version.
Those were the first real, like, singles you put out.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that probably didn't make much sense, but that was a long time we didn't release something. We wanted to have, like, a song we was really in your face, and I think, well, Telepath is in a way in your face. It's different, it's not like too binary, it's just like that. the rhythm is a little bit complicated, but yeah, I like
it. Was it something that you had wanted to do, and then since you had your own label, you felt more in control to do the singles, or did it just sort of happen at that time?
It just happened like this, really. You know, we thought, well, you know, it would be good to have a single to light up something before the album. But it doesn't work that like this usually.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, I think for Soul or Soul, actually, Nuclear Blast had a single for the song Valkyrie's
Ride. Right. Yeah.
But it was just like a downloading thing. You know, you could not it in shops.
And that's the single off of the record? That song is like that's the one that they picked?
The one they picked, yeah.
That's interesting.
Because they asked us which one we wanted to. And we were like, anyone.
Oh,
I mean, I was totally like, you know, we did the best we could. I mean, any songs we did, there is no filler in there.
Yeah,
you know, no one that we thought, wow, this is not good enough. So, you know, whatever rocks your boat, go ahead.
Yeah.
And we thought at a certain point, maybe Slavocracy could be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, well, it kind of represents the album in a good way. There's it's kind of middle tempo, but a little bit speed up, you know. It's not too middle, but it's not a fast song either, and there is a big break in the middle, which is like fat, like some of our other songs with it before, and they just, you know, love the Valkyrie's New Ride, let's go. And I think actually Slavocracy was the second one on it, you know.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Now, what were the videos that you did for that record?
Yeah, we did the video for Slavocracy. Yeah.
Was that shot with a green screen?
Yeah, the green screen was Telepath, but that was from the album before.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how was that shooting?
That was great, like, because we did a couple of videos before, and I was always the only one appearing on it. So, you know, like
you're the voice, you're the guy,
yeah, sure.
You're the talking head.
You know, for Telepath, I fly to Sweden, I did the whole thing. It's kind of weird because you're like, well, you know, whatever, you know, I can do it, but if you were in a band, you like to have that interaction, you know. People say, well, that sucks, and that's good to hear that sometime, or that's good, you know, you want to have their opinion. Actually, they liked it when they saw it, so I was like, at least, you know.
So you didn't want to feel like you're like, I'm doing this, and...
No, if you want to do this, you do a solo project or
something. Yeah, right, exactly, yeah.
This is not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I might one day, you know, have this need, but... No, I don't think so. It's totally easy the way we work. So, Slavocracy, this is the first time we actually were the four of us, you know, somewhere in Germany doing it. And that was a great experience, I think.
It's a really
cool
video.
Yeah, we had a very, very good time there. The people were very concerned about the song. You know, it wasn't like just they pick up one idea and go like, yeah, that's easy, it's done. That really took time and admired the work they did, because there were no actually blue screen on that one. It was a very different way to work. Yeah, they had always kind of sculpture. Well, I don't know how you call that. It wasn't a painting exactly, but they had half of a painting and the rest was doing with computer. But it was always black and white and something, you know, in a bag. So that was very different.
Yeah, it's a really striking video. It's really different from almost anything I've seen.
It is different. Yeah. That's what I like.
How long did it take to do altogether?
2 days.
Yeah.
Two full day. Long day. You know,
I'm
you finish
sure.
at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And were you playing the song? Like, were they
over
playing
and
it
over
and over and over,
and over
again?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but we are all four of us, you know.
Yeah.
So it was his time, and then we switched. This is the other guy. So we had other things to do. I watched a couple of movies during that time.
Oh, good.
But still, you know, you're together, and you don't feel like you're the only one, and it's all on your shoulders.
Right,
so it was nice.
Why did you cover Alice Cooper years ago?
Different reason. First, I was totally in love with that song. I mean, it was kind of a strange thing because... You know Alice, how it developed. Yeah, it's kind of a character, and it is dark and funny at the same time, and very theatrical. And I thought, well, that song, I got the potential to be not funny anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, it was kind of funny the way he did it. And I thought, well, what's about we put it for real? And I thought, well, maybe we try to bring it back to the dark side, this song. I mean, I don't know how we succeed in it, but that was funny because actually we took the live version it did, because we didn't reinvent the song itself, but he had a different version for when he did his comeback show, you know, Eric Singer at the drum. he had a different version, you know, with a guillotine
and all that. Of course.
And we thought, well, we're going to use the live version with the Eric Singer breaks and everything. And so Xi learned it and everything.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, that was good. That was good. And we played. Yeah, we actually never played here, but we played a couple of times in Europe. We might do it one time. I don't know. You know, it's good to have this on your back, because sometimes you can surface
it
again.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, it seems like your newer records are more like pieces. And would you include a cover in them? Is that something that you think about in terms of when you're ready for another record? Or
never say never, as I said before, but I don't think we'll ever actually include a cover in an album.
Right.
I mean, on a mini album, that's what we did, you know, for Alice Cooper. We did a single with a cover from Depeche Mode.
You did?
Yeah, we did I Feel You on Unearth single from the previous album.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, we did
You
that.
Covered Venom. You covered,
we covered Venom.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Hellhammer.
I mean, you're totally informed. And we did Motorhead, but just live.
What?
Motorhead. Excuse my broken English.
No, I love your English. Sounds great on radio.
Okay.
What Motorhead song?
Locomotive. Yeah, that's the one I like the best. I mean, it's not very famous in the Motorhead repertoire, but I love it.
Yeah.
We just did it live, like, I don't know, 10, 12 times, you know, on one tour. And
so we
might record it sometime to have it, you know, as a bonus somewhere.
Oh,
but on an album, I feel it's bizarre to have a cover, because, you know, you can't have enough song, can't you? I mean, we can, definitely. So we don't need to have a cover. Just for fun, to have sometimes landmarks, you know, to show people, well, you know, we like this
we
as well.
We can joke around. And your music is, it's really seemed like the last maybe four records have been really pieces, really front to back, really complete, as opposed to a collection of songs. Except that's pulling out Exodus. That's like Soul, Reign of Light, Eternal, and Passage, really almost like movements.
We try that, but actually first it is songs, you know, and then that's one thing we spend a hell lot of time on it. I mean, ridiculously hell lot of time. It's to know which song it's first and second, and you know, you want to keep a flow. You want to this is Xi, was totally crazy about it, this, because you don't want to have, you know, usually nowadays there is a way to have a record, like you pack the best thing at the beginning, like the three first songs they're like brutally fantastic, and the rest is like not feelers, but they're weaker and weaker, and the rest who goes until the 10th song, you know, it's usually you listen to the beginning and then you're bored. When you will listen a record, the whole thing, not just that. So we like to have, you know, hype on until the end, more or less, and that's the idea. And
well, the songs complement each other. I mean, there's a little bit of a flow, and it's not.
That's we try.
That's what I.
At least that's what we try.
Yeah.
So if you feel it that way, at least we're on the same page on this one.
So somebody does.
That's good.
So what's the songwriting process like? Like, do you two get together, or do you come up with something, or is it different for each song?
Well, it's actually composing everything music-wise.
Mm-hmm.
We discuss things, of course. You know, we play a thing to each other. If there's something we thought so fantastic, we, you know, hear that. You know, it doesn't mean like you're gonna do something comparable or something in a way, but you know, he gonna record it inside, and you know, it's gonna come up
so
one way or another.
So are you saying that you listen to what he's composed and then you put words to it, or you
first we the four of us, we actually, you know, discuss what we like music wise nowadays, because it changed from, you know, 10 years ago we were not in the same thing. And if there is really something that we think it's fantastic, we play it to Xi and goes like, hey, you know, this is worth listening and maybe worth getting some inspiration from. And then he will come with, you know, he has his own idea, and then, you know, we'll probably take some influence that we bring to him eventually. And on my side, I don't finish songs. I have, you know, ideas, and I usually just have some meat there. And once I got the music, I see what could be on which song, you know. I
okay.
could use this there, or sometimes I just start afresh, you know, like
yeah.
I got the song and feel like on Earth. We don't play this on this tour because Macron doesn't like it, but he hated it with a passion.
Oh, okay.
I like it personally. So there was a song. I didn't know exactly what I would write on this one. It had this move a little bit, like, I don't know. Not a party song, but more or less like easygoing. It wasn't really deep, and I just went with this idea of naming cities all over the world, and it works to me.
Yeah.
At least, you know, at the end of the day, I thought, well, you know, that make a very positive and light song. You know, it's nothing heavy, nothing deep, but it's fresh. It bring the good mood.
It's your feel-good song of the record?
I think it's a feel-good.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. That was the idea.
No.
But Macro likes feel-bad song. That's it.
In the early days, did you ever consider wearing corpse paint?
Not really. I did picture with, I think the picture on the Blood Ritual album, it was more complex than what those people do because it took the whole afternoon to make it, like the makeup.
Mm.
It was very, very precise, very.
Between Exodus and Reign of Light, your voice has gotten a lot stronger. Is it a mixing thing, or do you have any lifestyle change, or like eating better or working out or something? Like,
I think that was for another part. That was the first time I actually recorded the voice a few times. So I had different takes together, and they're mixed together. So it's just not one voice.
Oh, I see. But there's a huge difference.
Well, okay, good. I didn't notice it was that different. But I think it was more screaming before, and on this one I had the screaming voice, and I actually really pushed it even stronger than before. But I had a more like mellow thing, more, you know.
Well, yeah, there's a lot more
deep,
spoken in the
just deep
right.
thing. And Stefan, who did mix the two albums, he actually liked the deep voice better than the screaming one. So he sort of mixed it that way. And I think it will be mixed the other way. It will be a hell lot more aggressive, but maybe less. More
well, yeah, I mean, that's a way to look at it. It's just that the speaking vocal is pushed forward more.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, in the
that's
mix.
What I did.
Right,
yeah.
No, it sounds great. Like, I really was, the first time I heard Reign of Light, it's like, steroids.
Right, that's a good thing then.
Can you talk about the Erewhon and the Listen and Magic a little bit?
Yeah, sure, but what I was trying to point before, to us, we really consider it as a side project.
Something,
I mean, that was CNI, and that's it.
Okay.
Only electronic stuff with vocal. And we've tried to keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want it to add things up and up. That's
right.
What I told him, like, keep it simple, you know,
right.
Like something naked so I can play around with the vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good experience for me too, because you know, if there is not much in the music, you gotta fill out the space somehow. And I tried to find a flow, you know, to have rhythm in my vocal, which wasn't much the case before.
Okay.
So I learned a lot on this project, but that was still something parallel to Summer, not really bound to Summer. But as it was bound on the same contract, you know, Century Media decided that they will have it under Summer banner. And so it kind of hurt the band in a way that, you know, I think people thought, well, that's a new direction of the band, you know, that's what they're going to do. And that wasn't. That was totally something we wanted to do separate.
Right.
And if one day, because you never know, we will do a second album for Erewhon, you know, Samuel won't be mentioned anywhere. I mean, it's really something we want to have separate. Yeah, that was the moment, you know, Chaos left the band, didn't have a guitar player, nowhere to go on tour, didn't want to start writing new songs for Samuel because we didn't know if he would have been a future. It wasn't a breakout, you know, Mats was still together and we were meeting from time to time.
Yeah.
But there were no activity. I mean, I think I wasn't 2001, we didn't play one single show the whole year, and that never happened before. So it's a little bit like, well, we're no longer on the map, we're no longer there, we nothing happening,
right?
Beside that project, but so that's what I say. 2002, when Macro joined the band, was really like us being back on the map and, you know, doing things again.
In the fan world, there was a lot of
conjecture about Eternal being your last record. Like, it almost sounded like a last record in terms of subject matter and stuff. There was so much change. And then I'm trying to think when it was that I saw... I can't remember what show it was, but I said something to Maz, and he was just like, well, it wouldn't be such a bad thing, you know, if we just did other stuff. And I was terrified.
Well, it could have turned differently, but, you know, I'm happy it turned the way it turned.
I am happy, too.
Yeah, that's cool.
In terms of your own personal expression, in terms of your lyrics, it seems like you're really saying much more like worldly things in your music now.
Right.
And it seems like you have a point to make.
I don't even know if I do have a point to make, but hopefully with the time, you know, you got something that mattered to say a little bit more than before.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly, you know, I suppose, you know, at least our two first albums, they were pretty much influenced by my readings, by my phantasm, or my, I don't know, projection. But it wasn't really like something I went through, or... there were not much experience in my life, you know, I could talk about, or, and I think with the time, you know, you probably have something to say because you went through things, and you things tend to repeat somehow, and when the next circle is coming, another following thing, so I might try to break this thing and go somewhere else, because, or else you go round and round and round, like we said before, you know, you're reaching 30 and you're still thinking like you were 15.
Right.
It could be too. I mean, why not? But that's not my thing. That's not what life is all about to me. I mean, it's about going forward and trying at least, you know, to have more than one life in your life. That would be a great thing, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, at least that's what I'm thinking.
So is writing music enough for you? Would you want to write anything else, or?
You know what? I could do nothing. Actually, for real, I could do nothing. I would be fine. But, it's enjoyable too, you know, it's like, I don't have to write something, it's not really a need. Sometimes it is, but not to have lyrics. I need to write something, but for myself, and it doesn't have to be constructed in a way that it could be given to others, you know, it might be just for myself, it is rough, you know, it is just the first thing, that I might need sometime. Then I try to construct it, because I want to share it. And you want to do it good, you know, don't want to have the first throw or whatever.
Because it really feels like the new record is written from a completely different perspective, like in terms of growth and development, like it's more about humanity, I guess.
Yeah, it has, but it was already somewhere there in the Renault Fly album.
Right.
But
yeah,
totally. I mean, you know, you focus on yourself all the time, which is... nothing wrong with that, you know, why not? But you might reach a point when you're even bored of your own self, you know, it doesn't add up, you know.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, meeting other people add up a lot of things, really. You know, the exchange is like probably the best thing in the world. So yeah, you want to share a little bit of what is in your mind. So you try to make it as good as possible for people to take it, and supposedly.
Yeah, because your early stuff seems to just be like one person saying some stuff, and the later.
I think
stuff,
the two first album they were dark, because all my I don't know, the thing I was interested in, probably dark, you know, poetry, paintings, you know. I did love Giger as a painter.
Have you met Giger? By the way?
Yeah, a few times, but, you know, nothing really came out of it. Because it was just like, hi, hi. And,
You know,
he's not really a talkative person. And I can be eventually, but, you know, I need a little push or something. And,
so you two sitting in a room is not going to be like a whole lot of...
It wasn't, because actually I talked a little bit with his girlfriend, but he wasn't talking much. Just hi, hi. Mm-hmm. I mean, a couple of things we said, but, you know.
Well, you shot your band photo.
Yeah, totally. That's the first time I met him was just before that one, because we had actually arranged it to be in the museum and to know if he was agree and how much it would cost and everything. And we just had to drink together with one guy who knew everyone, and that was the first time I met him. Then I met him a couple of times after that.
You have a new Giger tattoo. I don't know how new it is.
Well, it's 15 years old.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Who did the tattoo?
Philippe Lheure.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. He's a great, great guy. I mean, his father did this one.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow, you're gonna have to get skinned when you die. Like you have to, you have to leave those to somebody. Those are like in the tattoo world. Those are like,
big deal.
Wow.
And Philip.
But you have a piece from Felix. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh
that's
my
good.
God! Yeah.
Especially this one.
They're actually. Just right.
Yeah. The Baphomet from.
Yeah. So when you played Into the Pentagram, you sort of introduced it as being like dark. And when you played it live,
I think it is.
Oh yeah,
it
sure
is dark
it is.
And it is heavy.
Yeah, I'm
not lying there.
I'm not saying that you're lying. I was just. It almost seemed like you were like cautioning people, like you know, it's dark, it's heavy.
Yeah, like, well, you know, compared to what we're doing on a latest recording, I think this is a hell of darker and heavier.
Yeah.
But I'm glad because we, you know, after that we play Ave.
Yeah.
From Fumasa, which
right.
is. It's still heavy, you know.
Yeah,
it's
no,
really
it's
martial.
Heavy.
It's very square.
Mm-hmm.
It's very in your face. So
yeah.
It works. It works.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
If you had a benefactor, if somebody gave you like $5 million for the next, or 5 million Swiss francs, for the next Samael project, would there be something that you've been dying to do, like some technology thing?
I don't think so. I don't think we need much money to do a good album. I mean. Sure, the mixing costs a hell of a lot of money, but not
right.
that much. So far, we only managed to do the thing the way we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all, you know, the way it is, you can have a lot of things recording at home, and you don't need to go in a big
mm-hmm.
studio for 9 to 12 months.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, that's
well,
not...
that could be an experience. I mean, if you have that much money to spend, okay,
right.
why not you go in the studio and think, well, we don't leave this one until the album is finished. What's about that? Okay,
right.
that could be an interesting
right.
thing.
Yeah,
why
make...
not? I mean, if that
yeah.
will be the case, yeah,
yeah,
we might try that.
To conduct like an experiment of
that would
kind.
Be totally different because this is
yeah.
not the way we work usually.
Right.
And yeah. That will be this kind of record, like in the old days, you know, when people would go to the studio. Well, they would not have that much time usually, but they would go to the studio, compose their record and mix and leave. Until Eternal, actually, we always record everything in the studio. Not compose, but record
right.
and mix. But the two last albums, actually, we record a lot of things home and different studio, you know, smaller studio for things, you know, guitar. If you just have a good piece, I mean, good room doesn't need more than that to have a good guitar sound, so you don't have to have a big huge studio for that.
Yeah,
just one on a bigger one for the drum, the real drum thing, some of the toms and the cymbals,
mm-hmm.
and for the vocal, because I don't know,
yeah, for the right sound.
Yeah.
Well, for the right sound in the booth,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. What do you listen to personally?
Myself,
yeah,
anything, mostly classical music, to say the truth.
Uh-huh.
Nowadays, yeah,
okay.
since a couple of years. Basically Russian composer, which I like better than the others.
Oh, okay.
For whatever reason, I cannot tell you. It's just...
We usually don't know.
Yeah, you
just
don't
like
know.
Something.
I mean,
yeah.
there is something about them, I mean, most of them. I mean, we use Mussorgsky on the Baphomet Throne songs, you know, back in the days.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
already, you know, I had something that I thought, well, that's great. And nowadays, well, not that I listen only to Mussorgsky, but different stuff.
Do you have something interactive going on your website, or like a virtual band?
Right. We started this up. Well, it's. I mean, actually, the record is finished.
So, what was it exactly, though?
Above. That's the name of the project.
Oh, okay.
But it is not connected to Samael this time.
Oh.
It's not like this idea was like to have a different project. Just then we control whatever we want into it, and we don't have to stand behind it. I mean, we're involved one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But it's.
And so how is it working? What's the...
There is an album ready. There is a video which is on the way to be ready, but it's gonna be just an animation thing and, you know, a little bit like Gorillaz, but...
Oh, really?
Metal version, more
huh.
and more.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
still a bit the idea.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well,
cool.
I don't know. That's just,
no, but it's
know,
a neat thing
to
do.
And
I
to
mean,
do something we wanted to
well, because the internet is so, it's really open now. There's
totally,
so
yeah.
many, like, interaction is real, you know?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
really.
Yeah, we can have a big concert on Second World or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Is there anything that you want the fans to know that I haven't asked you?
No, as long as they enjoy the music, that's good enough for me. Okay. You know, that's what matters. The rest, you know.
In parting, your latest release is Solar Soul.
Yeah.
And it's on Nuclear Blast.
It is.
Your website is samael.info. Do you still have the samael.tv?
Yeah, that's the same one.
And
MySpace/Samael.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we come back then.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks to you. That was a pleasure.
Awesome.
Really. No, no.
And that concludes another podcast episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. More on the way. I am Diane Kamikaze. Check my Instagram handle is one word, Diane Kamikaze. Kamikaze ends with an E. On Facebook, you can find me as Diane Kamikaze Farris, Rocker for Life and Making a Difference. The full link to my index of shows and podcasts can be found on wfmu.org/playlists/DK. That's a capital D and a capital K. I'm working on encore presentations, and I've got years of interviews and podcasts. So if there's something that you'd like to see reposted that you missed, please get in touch. Send me email, diane@wfmu.org. And be sure to subscribe to the show. And if you like it, please rate it and review it. Wow. Thank you. See you next time.